Well, what I'd like to do right now, if you have any questions for Rachel, we've got mics. Mics are live, right, Doug? Good to go. Yeah, so you can just come on up, and if you have questions, just, come on up and make sure you say your name first, and then we will go from there. Lucas. Well, I already said your name, sorry, but you should still say it again just so it's on there.
Hi, I'm Lucas.
Hi, Lucas.
Hi. I'm not advocating this idea. I'm just really curious about your opinion about it. Sort of the libertarian idea of prostitution. If right. prostitution was legal, let's say a woman of her own volition wanted to enter that industry,
sure.
got a license, and then that way she was afforded the same rights that we all have. We can go to law enforcement, or someone goes outside of the contracts that we have, we can go and seek legal remedies for that. Just curious what your opinion is on that.
So I've heard that argument. The libertarian position is that we should never have fought the Civil War. And so their free market economy gone wild does not understand the realities of the economic, the political, and the governmental situation in the world today. Libertarians want to legalize prostitution, drugs, and all sorts of vice that the Bible calls sin. There is a part of our legal code that imposes a moral order on this world and on our country. And we are founded with that recognition that government, part of government is to protect people's rights. And so when I quoted to you from the statistics of what really happens to women in prostitution, the reality is that there is structural violence, there is constant assault, there is not consent. And so I think that the more persuasive argument is actually the total abolitionist argument, that there's no such thing as voluntary sex for money. Would you want to be a prostitute? Would you want your child to be a prostitute? For all the money in the world?
No, I mean, of course not.
Right?
But I also understand the reality that there are people that do that, and there are people that solicit those type of services. And, I mean, there's lots of things that are legal that we don't condone in a Christian environment. But we, in a secular society, we allow those things to be legal. In the case of the structural violence, if prostitution was legal, a prostitute wouldn't need a pimp or a John, so that that whole pimp John relationship could be eradicated in that type of environment.
Is that what's happened in places where prostitution is legal? No, it's the opposite. It's the opposite in the Netherlands, where there is more violence against women, and there is more drug addiction, and there is more structural violence. People don't simply come out into the light with these kinds of activities. All it does is give government sanction to a system of violence. So the experiment with legalized prostitution has not gone well in places where it's been tried. But I think more importantly, there is a place where we can draw a line and say, we believe the human body has dignity. We're not going to allow you to voluntarily sell yourself as a slave. We're not going to allow you to sell your organs for money. We're not going to allow you to sell your body for sex. And government has made those decisions, and I think we would fall down a slippery slope if we didn't continue to recognize the moral authority of our legal code. Okay. And, since Chief Harrington is here and has spent many, many years, do you want to add anything to what I've just said, Chief? I know you had no idea I was going to call on you tonight. But he's been a scholar on this for many years. Come on up to the mic if you don't mind, sir. Please. Do you mind?
Yes, you're right. This was not part of my plan. Thank you for the presentation. What I will say is, having known hundreds of women that have been prostituted, almost all of them started out as children. They almost all started out as children who could not give consent, who were beaten and badgered and bullied into a life that none of us would ever even imagine. And a lot of them never made it out of that life. A lot of them I saw at the end of their lives as we were investigating homicides. Children can't give consent. And I think that is, aside from the libertarian argument, for me, it is that that threshold point. I don't know any adult women who didn't start out in the life because they were children who were sexually abused, physically abused, and then got into drugs as a way of just trying to suppress the pain.
Mm-hmm. Thank you for that law enforcement perspective, Chief. And thank you. And thank you for your service. I was going to invite you to just come on up and sit here, but...
Hi, my name is Michelle.
Hi, Michelle.
So I am not in law enforcement, but I am a federal contractor that does background investigations. So I see a lot of people's lives on paper every day. But I know no one else, I don't think, in this room does that. So as an average citizen, what should I be looking for to identify if this type of behavior and this type of activity is happening around me, or if I encounter it somewhere? What should I be looking for in my neighbors and people I know in my life?
Sure. No, I think that's a great question, because I would love to see just more community involvement for all of us. You have an important role in screening. But I think that given the emphasis that we are seeing on children, if you are a mother, you need to know what your children are looking at online. The people that they think they're conversing with are not necessarily other children. There's so many of these stings that have started because adults were posing as children and luring kids into that. So as a parent, I think you can start there. I think it would be helpful if you were aware of what was going on in just your neighborhood. You know, some of these human trafficking houses were being run out of residential neighborhoods, and you can't tell me that people didn't know what was going on there, didn't see a stream of people coming in and out of houses at all hours of the day or night. And don't be shy about reporting things to law enforcement that don't seem appropriate. If you see other children or hear them talking about activities or abuse or situations in their lives that don't seem right, you know, I would urge you to be an active part of trying to help with, you know, having a conversation with their parents or beyond, if that seems necessary. But I honestly think if we all just keep our eyes open, and if you see something that doesn't seem quite right, whether it's at the airport or the Mall of America or some of these other places where we know people are being recruited, to speak up. In addition to the other things that I, you know, mentioned in the presentation with some of the organizations that I think can help train you on that work.
Over here next.
Hi, my name is Paul.
Hi, Paul.
And this is kind of a comment. Carrie Levin, when the Super Bowl was going to be come to town, they were putting out ads of all of the human trafficking and all the prostitution that was going to occur. And they have this guy over in Prince, I believe is his name, and the Twin Cities just totally utilize or are really excited about his abilities, but some of the lyrics and some of the songs are quite graphically revolting. And it's just, it's a tough thing when we look at these things, and that's, it's kind of a comment. But we say, oh man, we really love these sports, but all these sports comes in and it brings all of this other things in too. I don't know what all was going on, so... It's kind of a comment.
No, and I'm glad you brought that up, because it is true that the Super Bowl and other major sporting events do tend to bring in these kinds of activities, and so it's important for us, especially when we're hosting things in the Twin Cities, to keep our eyes and ears open, especially for young girls who are being trafficked for that purpose and brought in to serve men who are much older, much more powerful, and have the means to commit that kind of abuse.
All right, I'm just going to jump in here just for a second before you answer. So you had mentioned the Mall of America. Could you just give us some pictures, especially for us parents, but also so we can be aware as well, like just what happens, what to spot, what to look for, what to be on guard for?
I want to be careful here that I'm not causing over concern, but no, for a couple of the cases that I mentioned, people were soliciting in broad daylight. They were handing out business cards and asking if people wanted to purchase prostitution services. If you see young girls, especially minority girls who are in these kinds of areas, don't look comfortable, don't look safe, you certainly have a free speech right to just go and approach people and ask them, are you okay? Are you safe? There have been kidnapping cases that have been solved that way, where people get this Stockholm syndrome and they don't even know how to escape themselves. But one of the young girls who was trafficked in Utah, do you remember her name? Had been held captive for over a year. And at that point, her captive had taken her to shopping malls, grocery store, and was so trapped in that system that she couldn't speak for herself. And finally, someone walked up to her and said, are you okay? What is your name? And something clicked inside of her. And that was her road to freedom. It's not confrontational if you just ask someone, are you okay?
Hi, my name's Lori, and I'm never afraid to ask sometimes stupid questions.
No such
so this
thing.
May be a maybe one of those. Do you see a connection, or do you have any observations or comments as it relates to how Christians should relate to Sharia law? Or, I guess the other, and as it relates to human dignity, perhaps not necessarily trafficking. I guess I have another observation, and that was your statistics suggested that a lot of children flee when they are in custody of the government, mm-hmm. let's just say.
Mm-hmm.
And would that be foster children?
Yes.
And just to kind of expand on that is that I know in St. Croix County they are seeing increased needs for foster care and are certainly looking for families or homes that can accommodate that and help in that particular area. So, and if you'd like to say anything more about that,
mm-hmm.
please feel free.
Well, clearly something is wrong with our foster care system in this country, and I admire many, many people, including people in this church, who've adopted children, who've cared for children in foster care, and I think that you're providing love and stability that these children might not otherwise have, but it is troubling how many children do not have a warm environment and are subjected to further abuse because they're being moved from home to home or they're being placed in homes where they shouldn't have been placed to begin with. So to go back to your first question, I think any system, religious, legal, political, that does not value women as equal image bearers of a holy God is a lie from the pit of hell.
Hi, I'm Bethany. My question, as a mother of three young girls, how do I teach my girls to be aware of their surroundings and what they need to watch for to stay safe as they are getting into middle school, high school, and beyond, where I am not always around to be the safeguard
right.
for them.
No, that's a
so
great...
what are things to teach my girls to watch for?
Yeah, no, it's a great question. And so I would say three things. One is, I hope that every parent is teaching your sons as well as your daughters what the Bible says about human sexuality and what consent means, and their ability to refrain from activity, even if they think everybody else is doing it, even if they feel pressured, even if they feel in a bad situation. They always have the right to say no, and I think for our girls in particular, they need to be able to assert themselves in difficult situations. I don't know a woman in the professional world who has not dealt with some form of harassment. I'm not saying that they're all victims of rape or assault, but most women have had to deal with something, and people learn how to draw lines and to protect themselves as time goes by. So I think giving your girls a strong sense of self and of their own dignity and authority in any situation is the most important thing. Secondly, I would say that so much of what we're seeing, especially with young people, is happening on the internet. And so parents need to know what their children are looking at, where, what kind of websites they're visiting. Are they active on social media? Who are their friends? What are people saying? We've seen tragic, tragic cases of people, children, you know, being tormented to suicide because of what their cohorts are saying. So think about, do you even want your children on social media? And if you do, it is your responsibility when they are young to help protect them. Not everyone out there who says that he is or she is who she is telling the truth. And we know that some of these child predators are posing as young girls or young boys and trying to extract information, trying to have young children meet them in certain locations, trying to trick them into basically a situation that's going to lead to kidnapping and molestation. So the online issue, I think, is incredibly significant. And thirdly, I think we know that predators of all different backgrounds are increasingly using illegal substances, again, to attempt to gain at least not active resistance. And so when your children go to parties, when someone gives them a drink or whatever, you know, they need to know that they're in a safe place and they need to know what they're putting into their own bodies, because that also has a very high rate of influencing children and young people in those situations. Yes, sir.
Actually, can I interrupt for just a second? Just to expand on the, just as a practical app, is there's a website or a filtering system called Covenant Eyes that you can download. You can have it on your mobile devices. You can have it on your computer, laptops, everything. And we have it on our family computers. And it's a fee, a monthly fee of like $12.99, something like that. You can have multiple devices. And it filters. It goes through VPN. You can see, I know if where my boys go and online and all that kind of stuff. And I get a month, or I get a bi-monthly. Twice a month, report on where they are and what they're going on and what's going on and that kind of stuff. And so how they recommend that. There's some other ones as well. We don't get paid if you go to Covenant Eyes or anything like that, but that's the one I have the most experience with, and it's been really helpful. So just with that, go ahead.
Thank you.
Hi, my name's Jay.
Hi, Jay.
I'm retired from law enforcement, but I do remember 16 years ago when my daughter wanted to go with her friend to the Mall of America. And I know parents should be aware of this, but walking into the Mall of America, and I saw this gentleman, as soon as he saw the girls walk into the door, he was on them. Mm-hmm. And I was behind. I confronted the person, and I told him to back off, leave now. Mm-hmm. And he knew exactly what I was talking about. He turned around and walked away. But you can tell your kids, I mean, a lot of parents drop their kids off at the mall. Mm-hmm. 13, 12, to do shopping. It's inevitable that they're going to be approached, and people should be aware of this all the time. Even 16 years ago, it was prevalent, and now it's probably even worse, but mm-hmm. It's a good thing to be with them, to show them Great. Examples of what they should be doing, what they shouldn't be doing, so...
Well, first of all, thank you for your service.
Oh, you're welcome.
And secondly, I'm sure there's some parents here who would like you to escort their children with your badge and your gun.
Yeah. But, yeah, I just...
It'd be very helpful.
And it's a good thing you brought it up, too, about you need to talk to your boys, too. And
yes.
I did. No means no. And that's it. End of story. It's not a game. So I just want to pass it on.
Thank you.
Hey, good evening, Rachel. I'm Brenda.
Hi, Brenda.
First of all, thank you for this extraordinary presentation. You put a lot into it for our benefit, and I really appreciate that.
Thank you.
I have two questions that are somewhat intertwined. based on what you shared, it seems like the continuum that we're looking at is still in the reactive stage. How do we get governments and law enforcement more proactive in this space? And then second of all, I'd love your thought leadership. When women and children come out of this vicious cycle and they're in rehabilitation and transformation, how do we keep them from going back into that? Because I would think that would be pretty easy for them to do that. Mm-hmm. So thank you.
Yeah, very interesting question. So in response to your first question, I'm not sure that it's the job of government to fix everything, right? It's the job of the church. It's the job of communities. It's the job of families. And I don't want to delegate that responsibility to the government, some of our leaders do not have the same values that I would want instilled in young people. And so I think, again, the church really needs to step up and take leadership, and parents need to exercise authority in this sphere, and extended families need to exercise authority in this sphere. And when I talked about, you know, guiding your family, law enforcement is reactive. We get situations at the end of a very tragic situation, and the best that we can do is to achieve some measure of earthly justice until the Lord essentially judges us all according to our actions. But you in this room are the only people, I think, who can truly be proactive in giving the people around you, children, families, your friends, the right sense of self-esteem, in talking about the dignity of human life and the value of all human life, and helping us to create a culture of respect. I don't think that that's the government's job or even its primary mission. We seek their aid and their enforcement, but it's really up to individuals to create the culture that we want in this country. And if we are depending on, well, at least some of our political leaders, you know, things are certainly not optimal, as our current situation shows. And I'm sorry, your second question was on
The rehabilitation, the transformation, how to keep them going back in that vicious cycle.
I think that the work that the organizations that I mentioned are actually critical there, because, you know, what you're facing are a multitude of problems. You're facing people who are often addicted to illegal substances at that point because they've been forced to take those substances. In some cases, it's the only way they can just go on from day to day, and so there needs to be some sort of medical intervention. Some of them have criminal records because of their involvement as unwilling participants in larger structures of crime, and so economic opportunity is important so they can support themselves. And I think, again, you know, the third thing that we can do is just to love people who are in difficult situations. You know, when you're talking about a runaway or a person who's been entrapped into this lifestyle as a child, who do they have? Do they have parents or siblings or friends? I mean, again, I do think this is the responsibility of the church to reach out and to show love to people whom society has neglected.
Do you know of any churches in the Twin Cities that are doing that well, that we could team up with? Or
I think we have a great opportunity here, Pastor Porter.
Hi.
Yes, ma'am.
I'm Danielle. Thank you for a great presentation.
Thank you.
One organization that I've been following is A21. Are you familiar with them?
I'm not.
Okay, so Christine Kane and her husband co-founded the organization. They are currently working all over the world to end trafficking. So if people are, if people are interested in following along, A21, I think it's .org, is a really good resource. And on the prevention side, can you talk about, and this might be a law enforcement issue too, talking about parents taking pictures of their kids and how that's leading to pornography and how it can also cause a vulnerability in your own household with
flesh
with tagging your location.
Yeah.
And something that simple that you can turn off or right. that you cannot do.
Right.
Can you talk about sure. that at all?
Sure. No, I think it's a great question. And I think, you know, I know parents who don't take pictures of their children anymore or put their children's pictures on Facebook. And so it's an interesting question because we do know that there are predators out there who are looking for images of children. We do know that Danny Heinrich, who assaulted a number of boys and ultimately killed and kidnapped Jacob Wetterling, was creating homemade child pornography. In some situations, he was taking the faces of live children whose pictures he procured from public sources, including yearbooks, and cutting and pasting them on top of images of children who were victimized by child pornography and creating his homemade fantasies with partial images of real children. We also know that the Supreme Court has ruled that images of morphed children are protected, in the court's view, under the First Amendment. And so until that changes, again, I think it's an outstanding observation that you know, putting your children in the public realm could be endangering them, and certainly tagging locations, unless you have a badge and gun to enforce and keep away predators, is perhaps not the most prudent route in this day and age.
Let me mention something too about. Hey, Levi, can you shout this out? What's the function on Snapchat that? Ghost mode? Did I have you turn that off or on? I don't remember. On, yeah. So Snapchat, if your kids have Snapchat, middle school, high schoolers have Snapchat, there's a ghost mode in the settings that you can turn on so that where they're at, no one else on Snapchat, even if they're friends or maybe also follow them, won't know where they are. So that's a, you know, look at location services on your phones as well. That's for your and children's phones. It's an important thing too.
Yes. Hi, my name is Brian. Thank you very much for your presentation. As we all know, the internet is very anonymous. You know, anybody can get on there, be an imposter. Is there any work that's being done to relate a person to a particular device or any kind of traceability so we can have some accountability and people know who you're talking with at the other end or chatting with at the other end so that they can be held accountable?
There is work that is being done, but most of that work is being done in the context of specific crimes, where the police or law enforcement are trying to determine the location of a particular computer or device that they believe was used in a particular crime. I think, you know, there might be some privacy concerns if they were tracing the locations of every computer device in America, but again, it's a back-end solution, and this is a problem where we're trying to find preventative solutions. And the dark net has made things much more complicated for law enforcement, where some communications are virtually untraceable.
Hmm. Okay, I wasn't thinking in terms of invasion of privacy, because sure. I was thinking more in terms like whoever wants to drive a car has a driver's license.
Sure.
So if you were to have access to the internet, you'd get an internet license.
Right.
Some to that effect. And then that would make you liable and traceable. And I don't like the idea of being monitored.
Right.
But, you know, if you're going to bring an end to it, then there's got to be accountability.
Well, so every computer and most electronic devices have what's called an ISP address. And so the person who's bought it or who's registered it or is paying the bill, that can be traced. And so that is what law enforcement is using. But, you know, it becomes harder if a person is using a computer in a hotel lobby. Or is using a friend's device, or is otherwise masking who the real user is.
Okay. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Any other questions?
Hi. My name's Carol. This is kind of more of a comment. People were asking about what do you look for. I've been going over to the cities to listen to some speakers over there, and they said watch for teens who won't look at you face to face. If you walk by and they look down, somebody said like the dad was following his kids. That's fantastic, but there's adults following kids from a distance. Mm-hmm. They're watching them. They're making sure. We handed out stickers over in the cities during the Super Bowl because those kids have phones, because that's the way they can keep track of them. So if you see a kid that's very uncomfortable and they're, you know, calling somebody, it's like, just watch for that. Mm-hmm. And then I just want to thank Faith for having this here, because it's the churches do need to step up. Bethel did one last week, I think it was. But there is a coalition here in Hudson that's going to work on this stuff, and I think that's cool. Pastor Matt and some of the police force, and it's like, so there is things happening here in town too, which I didn't realize. So that was, so I appreciate you guys having this here.
No other questions? Okay. I know Rachel will be, so we'll get your full time's worth, right? No, but if there's some other more personal questions or more specific circumstantial questions you'd like to ask Rachel about, I'm sure she'll be around for a little bit if you want to do that. And it seems appropriate to me that we should close our time, since you mentioned quite a bit about praying. That let's just, if you're comfortable to do this, just get around some smaller groups around you and just pray for some of the things that Rachel had talked about. You know, pray that God would work, that God would expose the darkness, that God would also bring an end to oppression, that he would use the church and he would give Christians a great deal of wisdom and courage and hope to be able to move in these into these areas and places that are scary to be a part of, and that we would do so wisely, not taking on more than we can handle, but helping to channel people through and to places and people who are working here, and then also to how we can use our financial resources and our time to be trained and help with some of the organizations, the Breaking Free, or what was the other one that you mentioned in the Twin Cities area?
That was the one.
Breaking Free. Okay, that's okay. Good. All right. That's what I want. All right. Good. So let's take a few minutes just to where you are to pray, and then we'll dismiss. Okay. All right. Yeah. Just pray where you are on your own. Just going to pray for us right now. So if you just want to just wrap up your prayer huddle and then I'll pray over us, okay? Merciful Father, thank you for your goodness and your grace. And God, I just want to ask again that you would cause your gospel to be flourishing and giving us power, and that you would use your gospel in our lives to help us to treat everyone that we encounter with great dignity, with great respect. God, that you would so fill us with your spirit that we would, even in how we disagree, that we would treat one another with great respect. God, I ask that you would work in us here, that we would be led by you onto how we can be a positive force, proactive force to spot and to protect and to fund and to serve in various ways that, just as Rachel said, unfortunately, there's a great opportunity in the Twin Cities area for the church to fill. God, I ask that you would help us to do that. Father, I thank you for other churches over in the Twin Cities that I know and love. I thank you for Hope Community. I thank you for Bethlehem Baptist. I ask, God, that you would work in them and that you would use them in the heart of the city to bring the gospel and to bring justice, and to work for justice in these areas. Thank you, God. Please be with Rachel. And I ask that you would continue to use her in your kingdom as she seeks to help in the court system. And I ask that you'd use her mightily. Thank you, God. In Jesus' name, amen. Like I mentioned, Rachel will be up here. We'll have you come down to the floor so you don't have to be up in the lights, right? And she'll be up here for a little bit more time if you have some of the questions that you'd like to ask her just personally, okay? Thank you for being here. And have a good evening. Thank you.